131 of the answer. They say, quote, the variants have minimal importance to preservation because they are comparatively few and because no Christian doctrine is affected by them. Comparatively few, as you said before, Dr. Jack Mormon, one of our Christian missionaries, written a book in 2008, and in that book there are 356 doctrinal passages that are different than our doctrines, and each of all, and said no doctrine difference about statement number, line number 15 out of 22, number 132 in my book, and that is, they say, quote, no doctrine is wrong. Well, that's absolutely false. 356 doctrines are wrong. No doctrines are wrong. All the words are preserved in a massive manuscript evidence. And line number 16 of 22, we talked about 14 otherwise last evening, page 160, according to Morrow, acknowledges that the sum of all the variant readings taken together does not give ground to the slightest doubt for any of the fundamental points of the faith in doctrine. Well, 356 doctrinal passages, Dr. Greg Mormon, one of our missionary professors who wrote that book, he said very clearly that that's false indeed. And the line number 17, he's rather than just number 162, and the answer to that answer is that's quoting Philip Morrow's approval. In other words, the very worst text that could be constructed in the abundant material available would not disturb any of the great truths of the Christian faith. As you said last night, either that is a false statement because they're ignorant of it, or they were due of it and they lied about it. I'd rather consider not the liar, but they're ignorant of it. But if they're ignorant of it, why do they teach it? Why do they say these false statements? Why do they check it out a bit more or better than that? If Dr. Mormon has listed this book over 200 pages roughly in this book, 356 doctrinal passages, they're saying that not a single one affects doctrine. False statement. They should be making these false statements at all. And false statement number 19. Last night we took someone, and we're taking some more. And I quote, in spite of all the effort, our first five chapters stressed that these differences affect very few passages and never affect doctrine. Never means not at all. Well, when I went to school, 356 is not never. Right? 356 are in this book over 200 pages with Dr. Jack Mormon. That's the course. Then the line number 20 out of 22 is number 188 in my book that I answered. Quote, they've always shown no doctrinal variations arise regardless of which manuscript they read. Again, no doctrinal variations, 356. That's not no. 21 to 21, 22 are pages, number 206 in my book. Quote, none of these passages affect doctrine, and most do not even affect the meaning of the sentence. No doctrine involved, 356 doctrinal passages are repeated. And finally, there comes second, quoting Richard Bentley with approval. Quote, the real text of sacred writers is competently exact, nor is one article of faith or moral precept either perverted or lost. Choose as awkwardly as you will. Choose the worst of the desire, or design of the whole lump of the readings. There is nothing that's missing, no doctrine is involved of any kind. Page number 142 of this book, and Matthew 128. There's a new or not, there is Joseph new or not, but she brought forth her firstborn son, firstborn is wrong, denying the virgin birth of Christ tonight. Virgin birth of Christ is tonight. And the first in Romans 1:16, another chapter of the gospel of Christ. of Christ as well. That's the gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus is taken right out of that. Sends it all. There's another one, for example. And we'll find that thing down here. Yes, in Matthew 18:11. Excellent. The Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Salvation is perfect, saved. Completely out of it. Just left Christ, dropped right out. There are other ones here. Don't take too much time. You can see by the so-called 3-4 note. Here's another one. In Mark 16:9, life of us are completely gone. All the doctrines are involved in that particular place are gone and lost. Another, like for instance, in John 8:53-9:11, that whole passage is gone. And that passage talks about the woman taking adultery. The Lord forgave that woman forgiveness of adultery. And that's gone missing. And that, for example, in the book of Romans 1:16, that's how we record that. He said, not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, they take out of Christ. The good news about Christ, they don't believe that Christ is any value at all. That's very clear. And move on to another one here before we continue. In Ephesians 3, for example. Ephesians 3:7. God has created all things, and the words of thought are by Jesus Christ, denying the creative ability of our Savior, dropped right out. And 1 Timothy, I don't forget that, 1 Timothy 3:16. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in flesh. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The deity of Christ is not God. It's like us. Just He who was on the flesh, not God. So many of the doctors, 356, just a few of them, these men take out. And then we go to 8,000 differences. The book right there shows that the moment of 8,000 differences. We said this before. Between the West and North false big text, which the modern versions are based upon, and the received text that our King James Bible is based upon. Of those 8,000, 356 are doctrinal passages. The other ones are just, what was that? This is what it proved during the early manuscript, church fathers, and the authorized verse. In that it has listed in about 200 pages in the center of that book of these 356 doctrinal passages. Yet these brethren, there are no doctrinal passages. As I said before, as I said again tonight, either they don't know the facts, they don't know the facts, they could not be writing about the facts. They have studied the facts before they write about them and lie about them, all these different things. Like 14 doctrines, the articles and quotations last night, 22 more. 23-14, 36 different questions. The statements are all lies and false. As I say, they either don't know, in this case they shouldn't write about it, or they know it and they're lying about it. If they don't call them liars, I hope they don't know about it. If they don't know about it, don't write about it and mislead people about these things. If anything is wrong, I say it, I hope it's back there also, fourfold superior, there's fear of superior text, superior translators, superior technical translation, and superior theology. Now, the early days of the New Testament of heretical corruption, they came in very early, and the matter of, let me read that. It's even notorious that in the earliest age of all, the New Testament scriptures were subjected to such influences in the age which immediately succeeded the apostolic, that heretical teachers, not a few. So these heresies, these false doctrines, these false Greek texts came in right after the apostolic age. And Dean Burgon, his name was Dean Burgon Society after him, defined their tenets, that is, their doctrines and holdings, refuted with the plain word of God, bent themselves against the written word with all their power, and seeking to evacuate its teaching is but a single step to simply to falsify its testimony. He broke down positive corruption in the gospel. They said last night that one of the ladies, one of the little girls, teaching at Shelton College, told me there was a book in the library about the way it talks about the right word. It was Gene Bergen's book. The traditional text of four of the books are excellent. The only day that he's corrupted. The early heretics who corrupted the New Testament text and caused the corruption. The man must have all off professor of Gnosticism. Heretics. And the Ebionites, for example, Martian, Titian, Basilides, Valentinus. Let's see some of the things that they believe, these Gnostics. Certainly didn't believe the things of the Lord. Corinthus, Heraclian, Theodorus, Manichaean heretics, Manus. These are all doctrinal people that are Gnostics from Alexander Egypt. Now, I want you to know some of the Gnosticism on paper look. I believe in Alexander Egypt. That's where the West and North Greek texts and other Greek texts that are false. That's where they got their false text from Gnosticism. Dean Bergeron said that he believes that in Alexander Egypt, they first of all had the right text, the true text, the received text, the official text. And since that text didn't belong to their doctrine, it changes here it changes. Now, the influence of Gnosticism on Bible version. This was written by a lady, Mrs. Janet Moser, BF 227-33, you can get it. And all these quotations are from the Gnosticism, the doctrinal foundation, the new Bible version. That's where they got these thoughts from. I want to see some of the things they believe. And everything that they believe is practically influenced in these false Greek texts that underline the modern versions. Where the Gnostics, place of headquarters of the true churches, God's temple is Alexander Egypt. It's said by speaking of two A words that are false text, true text. False text A, Alexander Egypt. True text, Antioch. Antioch. And in Alexander Egypt, it was a headquarters of the church. The temple is in Alexander Egypt. And it was the headquarters of Gnostic doctrinal heresies, doctrine, sign, and manuscript, and modern version are based upon these Gnostic heresies. Still with us today. And let me list them. Go along and see what they believe. And these are things that these people deny and they're different. This is on page 93 of this lady's book. Jesus had a sin nature, like every other man. He's a sinner. False. Heresy, and that's in these doctrinal the text, false Greek texts, unlawful, the modern version of the law. The death included Jesus, page 180. He was not without being redeemed, he had to be redeemed. He was lost, hellbound sinner, a master to you. God has a fallen nature, page 60. Again, speaking of the Lord, has no fallen nature. On page 80, Jesus was not God incarnate, not have all God's attributes. It wasn't deity, it had creation, all these things. Then on page 63, which matches in her book, the term Lord was first of the Father, not Jesus. He wasn't Lord, he wasn't master, he wasn't deity. And then also on page 87, Jesus is not the Lord God Almighty. His deity is completely wiped out by these heretics. And the moderns today believe all these Gnostic doctrines, the liberals and people, and these versions, these new Bible versions, have these things also in these 356 doctrinal errors. Page 95, the Christ is separate from Jesus. In other words, they say, it says, the Christ came upon Jesus. That's page 95. Page 97, the Christ, that's more or less like deity, came upon Jesus at his baptism in order to enlighten and perfect him, and left him before he died. In other words, Lord Jesus Christ is not the same. It was not Jesus Christ, Lord, but Christ came upon him and left him before Calvary. Now, page 63, the Son is not equal to the Father. Was the Lord Jesus Christ is not equal to God the Father? He wasn't deity. And then, page 27, this heretic Gnostic said that Christ was a created being, therefore had a beginning in time. And this false heresy to these modern versions many times agree with as well. On page 82, Joseph not God, is the Father of Jesus, just like a human being. The purity of Christ is gone, but the greater like a man. And notice page 33, Lucifer, Satan himself, they believe is the Savior. Lucifer, Satan, is the Savior of the world. And then page 106, the Savior did not die on the cross. Rather, another Jesus who was demon-possessed. Can you imagine the falsity of doctrines of the Gnostics? They influenced the false Greek text of these modern versions are based upon. And then page 162 of this book, the Gnostics, a man is saved by the symbolic death of Christ within man, not with the blood of Christ. False doctrines are Gnostics. And page 179, redemption includes all the angels, including Satan and his angels. So we've got the satanic people being saved. And their salvation is part of the absolute force. Page 182. Redemption includes the whole world, universal salvation. False doctrine and logic everywhere. The Christian everywhere is learning it. Universalism. And then page 66. God is the universal father of all mankind. Of all mankind that is not. No, the devil is the father of everyone born into this world. We're in the devil's family. If we come by genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, be in God's family, we're in the devil's family. The devil is not going to heaven, and he's not saved, or any of his devil's people that reject the Lord Jesus as his Savior. They'll go to hell and the lake of fire indeed. Universalism, that's what the modernists teach, the unbelievers teach, everybody's going to heaven. In fact, if you go to 10 very many funerals on TV, they say, oh, this person, you know, the lost, they're in heaven, and everybody's having their sins, you'll see them all in heaven. Universalism is taught everywhere today. And page 33, Lucifer is the Savior again. False to do. Page 106, this book. And that's the way the Savior did not die on the cross. I guess they've already been there. And man is saved by the symbolic death, not for the blood of Christ. That page 179, redemption includes his angels. And we mentioned before, it includes all universal salvation. How that backs up to that. And on page 135, the devil is an instrument of God and will ultimately be pardoned. No, Lucifer, the devil, left God many, many centuries ago. And he's never will be pardoned. That's an actual false doctrine. Page 107, the resurrection of Christ is spiritual and figurative, not bodily. Deny the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then page 27, these Gnostic believers of Christ was a created being. Therefore had a beginning in time. No, he was not a created being. The all eternity past, all eternity to the eternality of the Lord Jesus. Then page 188, man is saved and perfected in stages. You know, once you trust genuinely realize first that you're sinning, God only saves those who know they're sinners. And realize that Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for all sins, including yourselves. And then by trusting in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, genuine faith in Him as your Savior, you're saved. And you're not saved in redemption stages at all. It's instantaneous. You don't possess eternal life when you die. As soon as you trust the Lord Jesus Christ genuinely in the heart, you're saved. No stages. You're not a stage salvation. And page 167 is Gnostic spirit. Not saved by following the example of evil. And obedience. No, that's salvation by works. It's false doctrine. That's true doctrine. Not true doctrine at all. Page 168 of this book. Man is saved through sacraments, like the Roman Catholic Church teaches. No one else saved by any sacrament, but by genuine faith in the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Page 173, man is saved through faith in his own works, not that of Christ. Salvation again by works, false faith. Now, here's some of the doctrines. They're not very many, just a few, a list here, just to see the differences in these new versions that teach all these false truths. It's in 1 Corinthians 15:47. The first man is of the earth. Let's say it again. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. 1 Corinthians 15:47. Now there's only a new two words. The Lord. What denies his deity? Well, the Vatican takes being and out the sinus text of Father with not 350 a week of 1800. Not one of the old ones. We proved that in the books of Dr. Greg Mormon has written. Well, these three texts are wrong, and the English texts, all of them, New International Version, New American Standard, English Standard Version, New King James Version, and the footnotes, the rule of the Lord is not the Lord's intent. And all the other modern versions, I haven't looked at the whole of them, but those are the English Standard Version and the rest. That's one of the first doctrines that are likely taken away, that the Divine of this did. Oh, somebody's got there, huh? My wife will be correct here. I'll get it. I notice 1 Timothy 3:16. Let's say that one together. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, lived on in the world, received up into glory. That's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Very clearly. God manifest in the flesh. His deity is there. He's God, perfect God as well as perfect man. And all these modern versions, there's no being for Trinity, no Vatican, but all these versions, and the modern version of today, is a false pretext. But in that time, it's a spell image, and your heart is to see who or off to it. Synonym. God, the Lord Jesus, is God manifest, because that's the incarnation. Perfect God became perfect man. And a third denial of the incarnation is denial of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus. Now, 1 John 4:3, let's read that together. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof we have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. That's 1 John 4:3. And the Greek manuscripts, Vatican, no Allison there, but all these modern versions drop out. Christ is come in the flesh. These are just four. There are about 21 modern versions. Every one of them following a false pretext eliminates Christ is come in the flesh. That's what we call the incarnation. Perfect God became in the incarnation, perfect man. And they drop out his incarnation. There's a third doctrine I mentioned. Denial of a virgin birth effect, and that's what our Lord is. In Matthew 1:25, let's read that text. And knew her not, that she had brought forth her firstborn son, who called his name Jesus. Matthew 1:25. Well, the firstborn son, now Mary had a number of children, all half brothers of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he had no sexual relationship with Mary until she brought forth her firstborn son. The virgin birth of Christ. One of those verses mentioned in Isaiah 7:14. And it says, they dropped that out. They don't believe in the virgin. She was the virgin. The other firstborn son of the doctrine is from. And they deny the mission of Christ to save the lost. Matthew 18:11. They say that to you. For the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. Now that's the mission of Christ of the Lord Jesus. Came to save that which is lost. A genuine faith in Christ that can be saved. But these new modern versions of it have a false Greek text. The thing is, by the superior text, translator, technique of translation, theology. The text, it's the wrong text, it's the wrong doctrine. The whole thing, why it came, Jesus didn't come to teach people, he came to save us, to touch us, to die on the cross, to have sins of the world. If they by faith in him could be saved. There's a sixth doctrine I want to talk about. Now, the denial of the mission of Christ again to save us in Luke 9:56. Let's say that together. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went into a better village. So these manuscripts, the false manuscripts, remove that, hold that first part of the verse in red, and these modern versions remove it as well. That's why he didn't come to destroy, but to save people's lives. That does not mean that everybody is saved. Now, the Lord Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. He made provision for the sins of the whole world. And only those who accept that provision, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, genuinely, in the heart, not simply the head, they're the only ones that can be saved and have eternal life. But the provisions made for all men, women, children, everywhere that is born, the beginning of the world, till the end. The seventh doctrine of Levi is when I have a sinless, which the Lord Jesus will say, Luke 3:22 together. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now these men, these manuscripts, the false manuscripts, these modern, all these modern versions leave out one word, heard. And from that word, they change it to there. Days of their purification. Well, at that particular scene, there was three that came to Jerusalem. Joseph, Mary, and the Lord Jesus. If there includes the Lord Jesus, he was not pure. He needed to be purified. Total falsity and false doctrine. He had no need for purification. He was sinless, perfect God, also perfect man. And the seventh doctrine, the denial of the truthfulness of the Lord Jesus. Let's read John 7, 8 together. Go ye up unto this feast, I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet fully done. The Jews asked the Lord Jesus, are you going up to this feast of Jerusalem? He says, I go not up, but he knows that one word is left out of his false version. I go not yet. He went up in about two or three verses after John 7, 8. Both he said he was not going up and leave up yet, and yet he went up. What does that mean for Lord Jesus Christ? A liar. You see, this is serious, definite detestableness against our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Now the eighth doctrine is very clear. Ephesians 3, verse 9. Let's read that together. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery that from the beginning of the world has been hidden God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Again, these three words in red are omitted by all these verses. The Greek false Greek testament, they didn't bring it this. And the modern description versions of the Bible, old ones and the new ones, all of them, all 21, read out. By Jesus Christ. They deny that he was one of the part of creation. That the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all three persons of Godhead, created this world. At the end, God created the world, and God said so. And the Lord Jesus, part of the creation, they didn't believe it, because they deny his deity. Now, the 10th verse, John 8, 59, denial of the omnipotence of the Lord Jesus. Let's read it together. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. These false Greek testimonies, which you were in the base, eliminate all these words that are in red. All the new versions, not just these four that are here, but all 35 or 40 that we have even today, eliminate. Well, what's wrong? Now, they read the stones of death. These people hated the Lord Jesus Christ. And just one man, trying to go out of this area, just was going out of this door, back in the back of this church, they were gathered together, they were stoned the Lord Jesus to death. And if you eliminate, going through the midst of them and so fast by, maybe you went out of the back door. No, he went right straight through. The only means that he could go straight through was he was to be a perfect God in the flesh. Just like a quarterback in football. When I was in my ninth grade, I was a quarterback. They put me as a quarterback. The last year, so we had practice. I couldn't go even 10 yards. They dropped me by the first 5 years. Tackled me. See, I didn't last long as a quarterback. I was on the line as a tackle, right tackle, left tackle, and the other left ball as a senior, but not any longer a quarterback. The Lord Jesus had no problem. It was a perfect baby. He worked right through the midst. They couldn't touch him. He was perfect God as well as perfect man. That's a denial of his omnipotence, all powerfulness. Terrible denial of God. And in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 14, another doctrine. Let's read that together. knowing that he was raised up the Lord Jesus, to raise up us also by Jesus, and present us with him. Paul speaks text with his new version of this one. Take that one word, that word in red, by Jesus. All the modern verses, Paul speaks text, all the modern verses. Now, they put another word there instead of by Jesus. By Jesus means that he is the one. It's one of those that were raised people from the dead. Those are genuine Christians who live in the dead. Genuine, which are in four kinds as well. Those that trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. One day will be raised by him, bodily from the grave. Those that are Christians, genuine Christians, have died. Their bodies are not corruptible bodies. They'll be changed instantly into incorruptible bodies. We who are still living, depending on what we're still living, as genuine Christians, have mortal bodies such as us, and instantly change into immortal bodies. And if we turn by the Lord Jesus, what word did they change this red word into? They changed it into with Jesus. Raised up with Jesus. Paul said, with Jesus. And Jesus, when he raised up one genuine Christian, he raised up, he's still there. You know, they're raised up the same time. Where is still that horrendous denial that Christ is able to raise the dead, and also even die his body resurrection way back years ago in the A cross doctrine teaches salvation by growth rather than by grace. That's what we put Peter 2:2 today. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that he may grow thereby. These false Greek texts are moving two words in red, as is the modern versions of our day. That you may grow thereby. The word is substitute something else like to grow into salvation, grow up into grace. Just by salvation, by growth, rather than by grace. Instantaneously, when the trust of the Lord Jesus as Savior, genuine Christian, and the born again, and instantaneously we're saved, and our salvation comes by genuine faith in our Savior, Lord Jesus, who died for us. It's not growing in leaps and bounds, and growing little by little as a substitute in their false teaching. Then a 13th verse, for now the redemption through Christ's blood, as through Colossians 1:14 today. And now we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. No, the only way, the basis of the redemption of all mankind, by whom the trust of Jesus Christ, by the shedding of his blood, that's the means that God has saved us, through Christ's precious blood, sinless blood, and through his blood, we have forgiveness of sins. That was the basis. The sacrifices in the Old Testament, the lambs and everything else, many, many thousands, millions, all through the Old Testament, pointed to the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world through his blood, the blood of the Lamb, once for all sin. Roman with Catholicism, shedding his blood every single mass at the hand, the body, the blood, all these elements. No, that's not salvation. That's not once for all, once shedding his blood. Not all these times. The thousands, all over the world. It's redemption through Christ's blood, because the shedding of his blood once for all. The Lamb of God, as John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, taking away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God, whose blood was shed, is the basis of our redemption, if we trust him genuinely as a Savior. There are 14th verse, 1 Corinthians 9, of these modern versions. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, let's say it together. Put thou therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, bring you Christ our Passover, a sacrifice for us. Now these two words are left out. Sacrifice for us. Did this say we sacrifice? What was it for? Well, for us, those who are generous for the whole world, in our behalf, in order that we can be saved, the blood of the Lord Jesus is sacrificed for everyone that's been, as I say, for business, but not for everyone that's been universally saved, as the Gnostic falsely believe. We must genuinely trust that Savior, realize we're lost, sinners, and bad Christians, and trust him. Sacrifice for the whole world. Now, I'm not Calvinist. Hyper-Calvinist teaches that we will sacrifice only for a certain group of people called the elect. And the rest of us, even back for us, we couldn't be saved, we must have that elect. Heresy from Satan himself, hyper-Calvinist, taught in many churches. No, he died in the place of the whole world, for the sins of the whole world, not sins of the elect. They teach, without elect, just go to hell and learn what you can't be saved, you can't be trusted in Christ. You got this book, you know, he died for the sins of the whole world, not simply a small little tiny group of people. So, the position is made, and the possession is made from that position, only for those who genuinely trust that Savior as their own personal Savior and Redeemer by genuine faith in Him. Our 15th doctrine, the doctrine is denied, and our Lord Jesus died as our substitute. Let's read 1 Peter 4 and verse 1. Inasmuch then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered for the flesh has ceased from sin. Just two words are limited in red. As much as Christ has suffered in the flesh. So wait a minute. Why did he suffer in the flesh? For us, the sins of the whole world, all of us who ever lived. Again, it's not universal salvation. But the provision is needed for the sins of the whole world. Possession is received by genuine faith in that Savior. That's what we take the provision made for possession by genuine faith in Him. Made the divine, universal, that He died and suffered for the sins of the whole world. And a 16th denial, which salvation is only through faith. That's through Galatians 4 and verse 7 together. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and the son, and an heir of God, through Christ. Well, they leave out these two red words as well. He just said, no more a son, but an heir of God. And that was everybody saved. No, only through Christ can you be saved. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, the genuine faith in Him, as He saved, through the shedding of His blood, only through the city. Not through works, not through Romanism, Mohammedism, all these false regular religions, through the Lord Jesus Christ of salvation. Genuinely, those who've been in the trust in a true and faithful way from the heart, realizing He died for us and He's God's Savior. That's how we get salvation. A sentiment doctrine. Now that salvation is only through Christ again. In Hebrews 1:3, let's read that together. Who in the brightness of His glory, and express image of His person, upholding all things with the word of His power, and He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. This false Greek text eliminates these two red words, and all the modern versions I've ever seen also eliminate the two words. Why are the two words so important? Upholding things of the Word by when He has by Himself purged or cleansed our sin. Not by anything we do, by the Mass, by our works, by going to some church, or by just thinking, but that is by Himself. No one else could bring salvation, eternal life of the Lord Jesus Christ. All by Himself. None can be added. No other works, not by angels, not by any other means, but by Himself alone, simply, purged or cleansed our sins. And then the 18th doctrine is denied, the denial of unbelievers to perish in hell. Through John 3:15 again. That whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, should not perish, these red letters are omitted by all these verses. Not only the ones here, all the other 30, 40, 50 other modern versions that we have in our lives today. Based on that, should not perish is referring to the lake of fire, referring to hell itself, the lake of fire. And this, the way it reads, we have one of these new versions, whosoever believes in Him should have eternal life. There's no downside of it. No believer, no problem. There is a problem. If you don't believe in Him, you're going to perish. could not perish. Very important doctrine to stand up. Now they wouldn't bear removal to John 3:16. Everybody knows that. It says that for God so loved the world that he gave his own beloved Son. Whosoever believed in him could not perish, but had the everlasting life. They wouldn't dare take it out of 3:16. If they knew that, then they'd be a suspicion. But no one remembers that also is in 3:15. Could not perish. They removed it very slightly, their presence. And that means that plenty of doctors, but not of a liberal fire. Yeah, Mark 9:44, 9:46, or 3:44 today. Where the worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched. Or 3:46 today. Where the worm dies not, the fire is not quenched. These removed these false Greek texts, and removed all these modern versions. And so, the fires of hell are taken out of these modern versions. They all have everybody scared to death. My friends, everyone in this world can be scared to death. If they believe these words are in here, it's talking about those that deny the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Redeemer. The fire in hell is never quenched. It's eternal fire. Hell Captain and other of these people in Peridian may find that, first of all, there's no such thing as hell. The denial of that. Secondly, someone say, well, hell is not the eternal. It's not everlasting. It stops. But both of these things are wrong. Hell is just as everlasting as everlasting life. Same word, fire dieth not, everlasting. And 21 is false doctrine. 2 Peter 2 is verse 17. I see that today. These are wells without water. Clouds are carried with a tempest. To whom the mystery doctrine should be reserved forever. The foreverness of two words are removed is preserved. So how long is it preserved? Some know even there is a potential. There's monistic liberal apostates, preachers and pastors and missionaries and teachers of these Sunday schools, and neither of these in hell. But if they believe that you he is, as well, just last a few minutes, 2 seconds, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, but forever. That's everlasting fires of hell removed by these 12 gods. A 27 verse, the denial of salvation is only through Christ. Let's say John 6:47 today. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth upon me hath everlasting life. False Greek text, so I'm writing new words, removed of two words in red. And he's modern versions as well, all the new. They just said, he that believeth hath everlasting life. And you haven't believed in a truth fairy? Because they're good friends, so they love Christ on me. If I believe in Santa Claus, I'll tell you no. See, all these different things and beliefs, there's a lot of people believing. And Lord Jesus said that to people to make it crystal clear. Genuinely believe. Trusting is genuine. Not just the head, but the heart. On me, hath, at present tense, right now, everlasting life. We don't wait till we die before we receive it. It's everlasting. As soon as we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, genuinely as our Savior. Only through Christ. Then denial that the gospel of Christ is only thus far. In Romans 1:16, I'll see that today. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. There is the power of God in the salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The New God version removed the Greek text take out of Christ. The pseudo-Gnostics didn't believe any of these things in the red. They didn't believe it, so they dropped them out. They didn't believe that Christ could save everything. The good news about Christ is gone. And all these modern versions of their world are based on the false pretext that the devil has written for them. And it's just the good news. I say it isn't. Well, what good news is it? See, all kinds of good news. And as I say, for any of these things in here, it's just like a little quote, Santa Claus, the priest, pray, all the other. I bring you good news. Good news about what? All the good news concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did for us, dying for our sin in the dark of Calvary. That's the only power of God for salvation. Everyone that believes and trusts in genuinely the truth activities. Come on, Mr. Pryor, I want to find four documents tonight. Let's present you. Therefore, be justified by faith to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. These false pretexts, God didn't sign in many of us, remove these two words in red. We have peace with God. All the modern versions, Disney, New Versions, many others. And so, we just said, being justified by faith, what this we have is a present tense in the Greek language, continuous action. We right have it right now. And what the false pretext is, it's a subjunctive. We possibly might have it. Not a definite we have it. Not a present tense we have it right now. But we might have it. No, it's not a subjunctive Greek word at all in this word. It's a genuine, it's accusing, it's a genuine indicative, it's a genuine present tense. We have it right now. Present tense continues action right now. The minute we trust Christ, we say we have peace with God. And that's not what we might have, it's a possibility. That's what the written victory is false good faith that we have it right now. In Philippians 4, verse 13, let's say that together. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Paul wrote this red word, Christ, is gone. Why is it gone? Because the Gnostics, these unbelievers, who you had this false faith that couldn't believe Christ could do anything. But Paul puts that in as the Lord Jesus Christ strengthens me. Christ is believing as a believer because a man, a human being, couldn't do anything, couldn't strengthen anybody. Through Christ, strengthen him. My mother-in-law and wife wrote a real excellent poem, and I want to read it to you about the Bible, the whole Bible. The King James Bible, God's Word, kept intact, in English, majestic, eternal, beautiful book, inspired, inerrant, and free. The light of my path is a walk in life's way, to guide in the lamp of my feet. Its writings are holy, verbally true, the inalterable statute of life. The prophet, the doctor, the correction, the truth, infallible guide for the right. My treasure, my comfort, my health, and my stay. Incomparable measure and rod. Each faith is pages of truth, its textual truth, the Bible, the exact word of God. That's Ron, my wife's mother, Grace Barker Sanders. 1978. Let me ask some questions about that, or comments. Have you asked them? Have they answered them for time? And we thank you for coming tonight and other ones to work. Anyone have a comment or question about that? Just pass it.
I noticed in this last statement, 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We talked in these services about the New King James,
mm-hmm.
because it sounds like the King James, sort of.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But it was in almost every one.
Right.
And so it's not even, it's not in there.
Yes, that's good. In fact, as we said before, we've written a whole article on that and went through to the New King James Version. Years ago, the Genesis Revelation, marked on every one of the differences to that in the King James. I just left out it was similar, but I marked especially those that definite changes in our King James. We looked at over 2,000 of these changes, written it up in Bible Today number 1442, available, and that's a lot of people are saying, well, there's no difference between King James and New King James. It's just updated a little bit, taking off the leaves of God. No, 2,000 differences. I simply don't agree. Other comments or questions now? Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, very good, Thomas. He says they think it's been a little different than that, but these days they look small. If you look into them, they're very long. It's very serious differences and very important. Than ever time.
Say it
again. That's it. Lady Baker, yes, ma'am. Well, is there certain things in the study Bible we recommend? Yes, the one back in the back bookcase we recommend that. Now, we published that, the Bible today, it's called the Decline King James Bible. It's in hardback, loose coverage and genuine love. What it is, we have the King James Version itself, and every one of those words that have been changed slightly, we don't understand from 1611 to today. Some of the hard words, they have in bold black, and the footnote, the meaning today, what those words mean. It's called the Defined King James Bible. Our oldest son, D. Richie, had 4 7 new daughters. The oldest son spent many hours and days and months in putting it together. I think that would be an excellent way of study Bible. I get a book back with Roy Dippett, we have that in only, and they have all these words. Honestly, it's a lot more change to think in because I don't understand some of the words. I can even be different other words as well, many words. But that's why we made no excuse at all. Nobody can say we don't understand this word to change its meaning from 1611. It's right in the footnotes. It's a present-day meaning. If any SS, maybe several hundred words with a little different meaning back then than today. No excuses, it's right there. Yes, Pastor, I'm sure you're going to share with us.
That's fine. Yeah.
Thank you. Right, of course.
Holly said, in the question, why would they do that? Mm-hmm. Now, you addressed that, but you say again, why would they do that?
All right. Why would they make this change of severe doctrine? They do that because they're following the wrong, the Old Testament text, the Bible, the New Testament, Greek text. This false text, which is concocted by these Gnostics, have all these different beliefs, or false beliefs, that Greek text doesn't have that true doctrine. That's why they do it. They're blindly following that false Greek text. As I was for many, 10, 15 years after I graduated, God was still out for someone. They had the wrong text of the gave us. The West Cotton Hill text of the bookstore and still going through the house. They gave it to us. We studied Greek and major in the Testament Greek using this false Greek text. And now all that whole Greek text has these 356 doctrinal errors. And it might be that Dr. Morris mentioned. And so if they follow the wrong text, they're not going to put that translation into the English language. That's why they, all these new modern take all these things. That's why they did. They're blindly following falsity as far as the underlying Greek manuscript that they're translating from. That's why they did. I hope that answers your question. Other questions you may have, comments you'd like to make? Yes, ma'am. What do you think of that, sir? What is what? Okay, it was the original text of Hebrew. The Old Testament, the original text of Hebrew, a little bit of Aramaic. In the New Testament, all the texts are in Greek. So Old Testament, Greek, and a little tiny Aramaic, as far as the language, the New Testament is Greek, that was the Greek New Testament text. So that's what they've changed. They changed the Hebrew, but he's gone to Greek, and saw the wrong Hebrew text as well. The New Testament, it's called the wrong, false Greek. That's what they're taught in school. Moderates, religious, apostates, young believers in the seminaries and colleges and schools. And sad to say, even in the so-called fundamental Bible believing colleges and seminaries, they also follow false satanic Old Testament Hebrew text, and false satanic Greek text with Greek text. You see, the ones that are the teachers in these schools so-called Bible schools and Bible reading schools would claim that any seminary that came from the wrong text. So it's like I was saying, the wrong text of the Hebrew, the wrong text of the Greek. But Dallas, without presenting, which was supposedly a Bible reading school. And it was not Bible reading that came because Hebrew had very confused. Of course, there's a lot of those schools, the reading was the teacher's pocket. It took me about 10, 15 years of being wrongly taught. I was tolerant, but taught wrong. It took me 10, 15 years before I learned the truth that I was taught wrongly. I came to the true Hebrew text, the true Greek text. But otherwise, I came here as well. I've been word ever since, and teaching about it, and defending it, and urging people to follow the true text, Hebrew, true text of Hebrew, and not the false text. And the other kind of question is, Pastor?
Thank you, Ron. I appreciate it. Folks, maybe it could be said like this. So Satan hated God. So he didn't want anyone to follow God. So he set about to write his own Bible. To say everything against God, everything against Christ, right? Everything against salvation. And so really it's all from Satan, but he used men to write it down. And the crazy part is that that's what most people are following today. Very few use the kingdom of Christ. The instructions are very confusing. Some do, but some don't, very confusing. So you have God's message here and Satan's message over here. I mean, brother, is that right?
Yes.
That's what, clearly. Some people know God's message under the inspiration of my Holy. Many more of those things now. You get that and with your own words, and Jesus can't help you to have peace. It's a foolproof plan. Almost that he's come up with. And then you see why. Well, we don't have to be deceived. And we don't really have to be too smart either. Not really. Just what does it say about the perfect work of Christ? What does it say about being saved? What does it say about the deity of Christ? This brother's given us a lot of detail on it. And we thank you for your help. He studied it and studied it. The book that he wrote, defending the King James Bible, he told me this afternoon, he said, that was my first writing about these things. And he said, this course is much more because I studied it more. In other words, it's almost endless study time, isn't it?
There's,
he said, so now this course has more detail even than my book that I wrote. Am I correct in what you said?
Yeah.
Now, are you going to put this in the book?
Well, we'll send you a copy of it and put it in the book.
So, he's been taking it all. So he's going to take it back to New Jersey, and his son's going to put it on a CD, everything he said all the way through. So we'll have this available for you to get a copy along with this syllabus and all this information. And that way, when friends call you old fogey and old fashioned and stupid, you can say, well, right here is why I do this. And if they're saved, and they study through it all, they will understand. Don't you think? They know the Lord. They'll get it. Just like we got it here tonight. Now, if they don't get it, maybe then you can have opportunities to learn how to be saved. It really is almost overwhelming when you realize how wrong the underlying texts are. Did you see it? Did you see it? Did you see it tonight? We have seen it for five sections. So, it's just overwhelming, but I guess it's like communism. It just passes the test. But you see, that's because Satan's work. this evening. And his main goal is to get people in the lake of fire. But even right here it says, the lake of fire is not forever. Right? His brother brought it out. So if you read Satan's version, first of all, there's no lake of fire, but then it's not for very long. It's so plain, but so misunderstood. Well, so we're going to do what we can to make this available. And here's how it is. The whole world is not going to be saved, and we're not going to save the whole world. But we're called upon to help those who will listen. They might be saved and receive the Lord's Savior. Because wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and few there be that find it.